Welcome to My Cyborg Life, where we attempt to tackle the daily struggles of people with Parkinson's by providing an interactive community in which to offer advice, suggestions, solutions, and relief. We also explore deep brain stimulation as an option of treatment by highlighting my personal journey with Parkinson's disease and DBS. I'm Kevin Denneke, your host, and this is My Cyborg Life. Greetings, listeners, and welcome to My Cyborg Life. I'm your host, Kevin Denneke. Especially welcome today. This is our very first episode. Glad to have you with us. Please help spread the word of Parkinson's awareness. Today, we're going to talk about Parkinson's, of course, but more specifically, how Parkinson's being a progressive disease slowly starts to take things away from us that we used to take for granted. How do we deal with that emotionally, physically, mentally? It can be a tough ride. You know, it's very tough struggle, trust me. Those of us with Parkinson's know that being a progressive disease, at the beginning things are just a little awkward or uncomfortable, and then little by little comes the pain and the rigidity, the stiffness, the tremors, dyskinesia, dystonia, more pills, more frequent balance issues, etc., etc., on and on. It's ridiculous, trust me. As the disease progresses, it begins to take things away from us that we used to take for granted, like buttoning a shirt, buckling a belt, zipping a fly, tying a shoe, the ability to walk without assistance, going to the bathroom by yourself. Sometimes the medication starts working for you and against you, as it did in my case. And you suffer through dramatic highs and lows throughout the day called on times and off times, or on episodes and off episodes. In the on times, PWPs, or people with Parkinson's, are pretty much okay. They're normal, happy selves, basically. Off times are a whole other story. Traveling up and down these peaks and valleys throughout the day and night is like a roller coaster ride that never stops, to which even the most physically and mentally fit person would find exhausting, to say the least. Insanity. Those of us who suffer from Parkinson's disease or have cared for someone with PD know that these off episodes are the worst for both the patient and the caregiver. I was two different people. There was on episode Kevin joking and laughing and trying to make the best of his day. There was off episode Shelby. I made Kevin lose expression on his face, muddled and softened his voice, kept him hunched over and unable to move his arms and legs, with a feeling of extra gravity pulling him down to the floor. Shelby is no fun. Once I got to the point of accepting the disease and I stopped feeling sorry for myself and I got to the point where I could say, yes, I have Parkinson's, I can't do all the things I used to, but at least I can try or adapt and learn another way to do it, this definitely took some time for sure. But I decided to welcome my Parkinson's and I named it Shelby. I got Shelby from Julia Roberts' character in Steel Magnolias, who suffered from diabetes. During the scene in the movie at Dolly Parton character's beauty salon, Shelby goes into a diabetic shock and Sally Field, Dolly, and Olympia Dukakis all scramble to help her, while the new girl, Daryl Hannah, tries to assist but is a bit baffled and shocked since this is their first time seeing this. My off-time episodes are very similar to what Julia Roberts acts out in this memorable scene, thus Shelby was born and became my Parkinson's persona. Here's a little clip from that movie scene I'm talking about for your enjoyment, and once again, no copyright infringement intended. Purely entertainment purposes. Enjoy.
Shelby, hold on. Clary's getting you some juice. Shelby.
Should I get her a cookie?
No, juice is better.
Here's the juice.
Shelby, you need some juice. You need some juice.
Stop it, Mama.
Drink the juice. Please drink the juice.
No! Stop it, Mama! Didn't bring my purse.
No, you didn't bring your purse, sweetheart. You didn't bring your purse. No, you didn't. No, here you go. There you go. Drink some of this. It's not any wonder with all this running around and wet nonsense.
Excuse me, should I call the doctor or something?
No.
She's a diabetic.
She just has a little too much insulin, that's all. We just get a little more in it, she'll be all right.
Don't leave me alone, I'm gonna leave.
Oh, I'd love to see you try. Cooperate, please. Honey, drink, please. Come on now, that'll go. Yes. There you go. There. That's a start.
This one hit her fast.
She's been so upset lately. Dr. Mitchell told her on her last appointment, children aren't possible.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
Oh, she's making some sense now. Yes, she is. This one was not bad at all. It was not bad at all. No, I think we need a little more juice.
Could I do something to help?
No. She'll be fine. Don't fuss over her. Normality's very important, Shelby.
Here, Malin.
Thanks. I am really sorry about the children part, Malin.
Oh man, that scene gets me every time. You know, you substitute the juice for green tea and diabetes for Parkinson's, and you would have Julia Roberts playing Kevin Dennehy. I swear, I've been in that situation so many times before in a public place where I have my meltdown, as I call it, when Shelby comes, my off time, my off episode. So many parallels here for me in that situation. You know, me slurring my speech, mumbling, trying to give instructions on how someone can help me. Shocked bystanders or onlookers whispering in the background, saying, "What's wrong with him? Is he okay? You know, can I do anything to help?" And one of my friends saying, "Oh, he's okay. He has Parkinson's. It's gonna be all right. It happens all the time. Don't worry. Don't worry." And my friends constantly asking me throughout the night, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" "Yes, I'm okay." Before something happens, I've been in that situation so many times before. It's crazy. Shelby can often be very stingy and greedy. There were times when she would take up almost my whole day, interrupt dinner with friends, make me have to pee every 5 minutes while simultaneously limiting my ability to walk, finally going away only to come back for one more kick in the gut before leaving me alone. At times it seemed that I was living from pill to pill only to go through the same abusive cycle again and again. Coupled with the pain and the stiffness, this was exhausting. I then realized it was because I was living in dread of Shelby and her visits. Even though I battled every day, I decided it was time to man up and stop being intimidated. Not to give in to Shelby's spell. When I stopped and looked at the bigger picture, I acknowledged that although my off episodes could be pretty extreme, I put up a good fight and I would always get through it and prevail in the end, coming out stronger every time. I was the one who hosted Shelby in my body. It was part of me that would never leave, but I could at least try to control her to some degree. I was trying to harness the powers of neuroplasticity, the art of trying to rewire your brain. I tried to train my brain to go into the get out of it mode instead of get sucked in mode. As time went on, Shelby became more predictable. I'd gotten so in tune with my body that I could sense when she was trying to emerge. I would take preventative measures like stretching and breathing exercises, reminding myself that it was my brain, my body, but Shelby was taking up space. Maybe I couldn't fully evict her, but I could raise my rent to make her stay more difficult, that's for sure. Green tea also seemed to help. I always keep a cup of green tea nearby as Shelby's kryptonite. Sometimes our battles would last 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes for hours, but in the end she would finally surrender. And Kevin, regular Kevin, came back for at least a little while. As I previously mentioned, Shelby can be very covetous and take things from you. Once you let her have them, it's hard to get them back. One of the first things I gave her was my ability to wear button-up pants and a belt. For the past few years, I've only been able to wear elastic-waisted pants. After being out in the town and wetting my jeans too many times, I decided sweatpants was the way to go because it was easier to pull out your business and go to the bathroom without making a mess. Then I gave up button-up shirts and went for t-shirts or tank tops. Then it went from underwear to diapers, then from sweatpants to basketball shorts, because it was easier to stretch in basketball shorts than sweatpants, which would sometimes restrict my movement. Ironically, I became in the best physical shape of my life from all the stretching, yoga, and movement exercises I did throughout the day to ward off my symptoms. But when those off times hit, it was still tough. You know, sometimes I can do push-ups with my arms while sitting in an armchair during an off time. It's suspending my entire body in the air, but when I lower myself down to try to push forward and walk, nothing. So bizarre. Now we're going to take a little time to talk to Dr. Dolan, the Vice President of Medical Communications at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, one of their many resident neurologists and movement disorder specialists. She's going to talk to us about off times and motor fluctuations in Parkinson's disease in a little segment I like to call Ask the MD. Hello, Dr. Dolan. Welcome to My Cyborg
I'm
Life.
Dr. Rachel Dolan, Vice President of Medical Communications at the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. Today I'll be talking about motor fluctuations.
What are motor fluctuations?
Motor fluctuations are what we call off times, which are periods when medication isn't working well and symptoms like tremor or stiffness return. They can come on in a variety of patterns. One of the most common is what we call a gradual wearing off.
Okay.
This would be when medication like levodopa stops working gradually before the
Right.
next dosage of medication is due and symptoms return. Another common way would be when a medication dosage doesn't seem to take effect quite as quickly as
Oh, I
usual,
know what you
or it
mean.
doesn't take effect at all.
I've had that happen before. Now, how can we manage motor fluctuations? Any advice, tricks of the trade on how to
If you
deal?
have motor fluctuations, there are several management options available. It's really important that you discuss any medication changes with your doctor ahead of time. For people with motor fluctuations, separating levodopa from meals can be helpful.
True.
Protein can interact with levodopa for absorption.
Right.
So separating levodopa from meals that are high in protein can help medication to work a little bit better.
Right. And I've had this experience before. I always try to time my food with when I take my medicine. You know, I try not to take my L-Dopa at least half an hour, 45 minutes after I eat, especially if there's some protein involved in that meal. Because what you said is it interferes in the absorption. I believe the L-Dopa or Sinemet, which is the brand name for the drug, the standard for everyone that Parkinson's takes, I believe it converts into a protein as it breaks down in your body. So if you have a lot of protein in your food, and then you take your medicine, the body is going to process the protein from the food and not the protein from your medicine, and you're going to get that off time and those roller coaster swing episodes that I was talking about before. Not fun.
If that's not enough, medication adjustments may be necessary. Again, it's really important to discuss any medication adjustments with your doctor ahead of time.
Right.
If you experience gradual wearing off, the amount or the frequency with which you take levodopa may be increased. Or your levodopa may stay the same and a second medication added to boost its effect.
I've had that done with me.
A third option may be to change the formulation of levodopa to a longer-acting preparation.
Right.
Two medications in this category were approved in 2015. One is called Retari. This is an oral capsule that contains both immediate and extended-release beads of levodopa.
Okay.
And another is called Duopa. This is a gel formulation of levodopa that's designed for continuous infusion directly into the intestine where the levodopa is absorbed.
I've heard of both of those.
That's a medication that's used more in people with advancing Parkinson's disease. If you experience sudden or unpredictable off periods, you may want to have a rescue medication on hand.
Good idea.
There's an injectable formulation of a medication called apomorphine, which is a dopamine agonist that's available for these situations. For some people with very significant motor complications and fluctuations, deep brain stimulation may be an option at this point.
A good option. Now, how do you find the best regimen? What's the best medicine regimen? It's kind of trial and error.
Your medication regimen can be a trial and error process.
Right. I was just saying.
It might be helpful to keep a motor diary for a few weeks.
I've tried that. It's hard.
Your symptoms and how long it takes your levodopa to kick in, how long it lasts, and if you have any side effects, particularly those dyskinesias or those abnormal, involuntary, uncontrolled movements.
Right.
Noting these things can help you and your doctor work together to find the best regimen for you. Motor fluctuations are thought to develop due to a combination of Parkinson's disease itself and the medications used to treat it.
Okay.
Parkinson's causes a loss of the cells that make dopamine in the brain, and as the disease progresses, more and more of these cells are lost, so the brain depends on medication to supply its dopamine. Because of the way that traditional formulations of levodopa are given, the levels of dopamine in the body and therefore the brain fluctuate.
That's what I was saying. The medicine starts working for you. Sometimes it works for you. Sometimes it works against you. You know, these swings in the levels of dopamine in your body can't be really controlled by the medicine. And so it causes the off time as well.
Over time, the brain has increasing difficulty adapting for this, and this can lead to motor fluctuations.
Okay. Now, what kind of research is going on in this segment of Parkinson's?
Researchers believe that a more continuous and constant level of medication in the blood, and therefore the brain, may help avoid or at least lessen motor fluctuations.
Well, that certainly makes sense.
That's the idea behind several of the medications that are in late-stage development.
Okay.
One of these is called an accordion pill, which is designed for slower release and absorption from the stomach.
Okay.
Another is a liquid formulation of levodopa that's designed for continuous infusion under the skin, either through a device like an insulin pump or a skin patch that works like a pump. There are also some medications in late-stage development for those sudden and unpredictable off periods.
All right.
One is a reformulation of apomorphine that's designed to dissolve under the tongue.
Oh, that sounds better than the shot.
And another is an inhaled form of levodopa that's given through a device like an asthma inhaler.
Ambrisia, I've heard of that one.
You can learn more about this and other topics in Parkinson's by visiting our website.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Dolan, and thank you for coming to My Cyborg Life. In April of 2021, I underwent surgery at the University of Washington Medical Center and had a Boston Scientific deep brain stimulator placed in my body. After two separate operations, I was officially a cyborg. I had stimulation nodes placed in the GPI part of my brain, with wires running through my neck and attaching to a rechargeable stimulator unit on the left side of my chest. 1 month later, I began the first of several programming sessions at the Movement Disorders Clinic at the Center for Health and Healing at Oregon Health Science University, where my neurologist put codes into a laptop and sent them to a handheld remote control unit. When you turned on the remote control, turned on the stimulator, it would then send a signal from the remote control to the stimulator unit in my chest, which would go through the wires to the attachments in my brain, and this would hopefully help with my horrid off times eventually and manage my symptoms better than the medication would. That was the idea. Well, now I'm a few months in on the programming, and after several sessions with mixed results, you know, we had some ups and downs along the way, went through some tough times, but in the end it was worth it. We had to have lots of patience and a good sense of humor to get through this. And we're just at about the 6 month point of my surgery, so we're going to do some tests to evaluate how the DBS unit is working. We have a physical therapy session off my medication, the next day a physical therapy on my medication, a speech test, a cognitive test, and then another programming session on November 2nd. My latest programming was on the 21st of September, and it's only been a few weeks, you know, less than a month, and still have some issues with Shelby, but in general they've been pretty mild and manageable. You know, I've been feeling a lot more confident lately and maybe getting a little cocky, but I decided I'm going to start trying to take things back from Shelby that she's robbed me of over the last several years. I decided it should be one of the first things she took from me, button pants and a belt. So the other day, for the first time in a long time, I went for my morning walk in a pair of jeans with a belt. While walking, I realized that I was way more comfortable to walk in sweatpants. Everything's more comfortable in sweatpants, you know? But jeans or casual sex would be nice for the evening, and I have a lot more confidence now to wear them. So Shelby, I'm sorry to say, but I'm taking my pants back from you. Maybe I won't be able to wear them all the time, but hopefully as time goes on and I deal with your nonsense less and less, I can at least wear them more often, because it is my body, my legs, my hands that will fasten the buttons. It will be I that wears the pants in this relationship. Well, that brings us to an end of our very first episode of My Cyborg Life. I would like to thank you all for listening and for your support. You can subscribe to our podcast for free on Spotify. Don't forget to hit that follow button. You can get us on Stitcher, Pocket Cast, wherever else you'd like to listen. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, WordPress at My Cyborg Life. You can also donate to My Cyborg Life at MyCyborgLife.com. Your generous support will help me spread our message to the 60 million people worldwide living with Parkinson's who are trying to better their quality of life. On our next episode, I will discuss the relationship between gut health and brain health, and the relationship between our body's two brains and two nervous systems. Two, you say? Find out next time on My Cyborg Life. Have a question about today's episode or something related to your experience with Parkinson's that you'd like to share? Well, I would love to hear from you. Spotify has an option to leave voice messages. Simply leave me a message, and I may include it in our occasional audience Q&A podcast. Plus, you will have a chance to win one of many fabulous prizes available exclusively to My Cyborg Life podcast subscribers. This is Kevin Denneke signing off. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on My Cyborg Life.